Begin after 8 taps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
He was slinging pawns at a B&B when he had an epiphany. A nigga partying about time too, about not playing D&D. It was free throw all and I heard him say, keep off my borderlands. But just sit back and let Spencer do his trick, cause you're incapable hands.
That was TJ Drennan there, and welcome to Keep Off the Borderlands. My name's Spencer, aka Free For All, and in this episode, well, this is going to be quite tangential to Ray's suggested topic of rules. We don't need no stinking rules. I'm going to talk about my experience of playing Rhesus using the play-by-post site, Rollgate. I also want to talk a bit, there's been a lot of talk on the Discord about rules light, or rather light rules, and I wanted to talk a bit about just labels in general and their usefulness. So to get things going, here's a call from Jason Connolly of Nerds RPG Variety Cast.
Hey, Free Throw. Just want to say that this is Jason from Nerds RPG Variety Cast again. Just want to say, and hopefully I'm not mixing my podcasts up, but so you said Rollgate and Rhesus. Well, you know, back when Rollgate started, I played in a Black Hat game on there. That was pretty cool. It was the Island of the Eld. It's kind of a cool venture. But Rhesus is an old favorite of mine, and I'm going to talk about it this Wednesday or Thursday on my next episode, because I'm going to use it to talk about the Rules Light thing for Artisan Month. So I look forward to hearing any thoughts you have on my thoughts on Rhesus. And if you want to talk further about it on your podcast, I would love to hear further thoughts you have on that system and how to correctly pronounce it, because surely I'm not doing it. So I'll talk to you later. Take care.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Jason. Really appreciate that. And I did reply to Jason's message, and you'll probably hear that in his episode, which I believe is going up today. Yes, Jason, I really want to thank you for pointing me in the direction of that interview with S. John Ross. And as for a pronunciation, I didn't realise it's a Latin word meaning laughter, and it's pronounced Rhesus. But I'll probably revert back to calling it Rhesus as I was initially. Yeah, I really, really love the guy's attitude. Being someone who doesn't take himself particularly seriously, it's one of the few traits I possess that I don't mind finding in other people. And yes, his explanation of his creative process. I write a game that sucks and I hate it, and then I rewrite it and it sucks a little bit less, and I keep doing that until I get tired. And that just sounds that's a great approach and a very honest approach. And the way he talks about, not serious, but sincere. And I can see the value of that. It's interesting that he designed Rhesus as a system for testing modules he was writing for other systems that his friends didn't enjoy playing. So he created these light rules just as a means of testing adventures. So that's cool. As I said in my message to Jason, I'm sure anyone can see the fact that Osseous, the 2D6 game that I put together, is essentially Rhesus with the mechanic from Tunnel Goons, which I believe is from Traveller initially. And basically, you've got two mechanisms there. Not even mechanisms. I mean, well, you've got guidelines for creating a character, and you've got a core mechanic for adjudicating everything. And that's, you know, that's what Rhesus is, that's what Osseous is. And I also like the fact that he said when he's creating stuff, he comes up with a lot of detail that he doesn't actually bother putting in the published product. I totally get what he means there, because he wants people to have the experience of creating the elements that he enjoyed creating. So he wants to give them a leaping off point, essentially, for their own creativity. I love that. It's one of the things that I think I've spoken about appreciating with Into the Odd, the fact that there's lots of little things in there to suggest what the world's like, but actually everyone is going to create a very different world from each other. And I love that.
Gary and Dave shared credit on the white boss, but as things advanced, their relationship was on the rocks. Maybe less people know his name, but he revolutionized war games with the first fantasy campaign.
Just listening to the rest of that interview, and what a really, really interesting guy. I really like his take on gaming in general, and it's nice to hear the perspective of someone who's played literally hundreds of different systems. To such an extent that he feels he could just sit down and run any one of them. So I was going to talk a little bit about my experience with Rhesus using Rollgate. Now, if you're not familiar with Rollgate, it's just a website for play-by-post gaming, and didn't really struggle too much getting to grips with it, and I've found it very intuitive, although, I can't always find information when I need to. Often end up clicking on the wrong icon. But that's just me. Brain like a fish. But I felt that Rhesus is the kind of game that really lent itself to that format as well. And playing through Toast of the Town was really... really enjoyable. It's I'll give you the setup. I don't want to spoil anything, but essentially you begin the game, you're heading into town because you've received a letter from a friend asking you to come and meet him. Some suggestions that there's something going on, but when you get to town, you find that your friend has died in a fire the previous day. There'd been a few fires across the town, and a demon is being held responsible. It's been captured, and he is facing execution. Yeah, so it's essentially, it's an investigative game, and I think there was only really one instance of combat towards the end. There wasn't too much rolling involved, to be honest. It was more about, us finding out what was going on and figuring out who to speak to next and not raising the alarm while we were snooping around. And you just really, really enjoyed it. I will certainly be using Rollgate. I'm still using Rollgate. I'm in a game being run by Che Webster of Roleplay Rescue, exploring his world of Mykovnia. That's going very well, although I do fear for the current state of my character, Manny, who I've grown quite attached to. I do wonder whether the system lends itself to playing in this format, but not that there's anything wrong with the system. In fact, I really like Castles and Crusades. All seems very intuitive. A real love hate with the D20, failing far more than succeeding. Just an upshot of being a first level character, I guess. Combat, lots of flailing around and not a lot happening, except for what's just happened to my character, of course. And I'm about to check in to find out. Oh, well, that didn't go well. I'm now unconscious on the floor. Dear, oh dear. Well, looky here, we find ourselves back in Controversy Corner. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, I don't know whether this is much of a controversy or not, but just wanted to say something about the conversation that's been going on in the Audio Dungeon Discord. And there have been a few podcasts about. I know Ray Otis has put out a podcast about Rules Light, or sorry, Light Rules games, and Ray Otis of Plundergrounds, and Jason of Nerds RPG Variety Cast is doing an episode about story games. And I just wanted to speak more generally about labels, really. I mean, labels are useful. Labels evolve. They can also become obsolete, when they cease being useful. This sort of brought to mind the label of indie with regards to music. I mean, in the 70s and 80s, indie music was essentially anything that was released on an independent label. Anything from Throbbing Gristle to Aphex Twin or Kylie Minogue. I mean, even Sun Records was an independent label, and they gave us Presley, Lewis and Cash. But in the 90s, that changed. Particularly, I know Blur weren't so big in America at the time, but over in the UK, there was a perceived rivalry between Blur and Oasis. For many people, Blur were the quintessential indie band, and Oasis were viewed as being more mainstream. And yet, Blur were on a major label, but Oasis were on an independent label. And I feel that that's kind of, I mean, that's where things start to change. When things start being embraced by the mainstream, by the wider audience, that's when labels start being twisted out of recognition. And certainly when mass media gets involved. I mean, sticking to the subject of music, I remember the term trip hop becoming prominent. A label essentially created by the music press, where most of the bands that fell under that umbrella would never refer to themselves as trip hop. In fact, actually refusing to be associated with that particular label, which possibly a little foolish, because they clearly ticked the boxes when it came to what that term was trying to cover. Then you got something like dubstep, starting out as a kind of sort of dark ambient dub reggae using sub-bass frequencies and syncopated rhythms, and crossing the pond and becoming this aggressive, electronic, lurching kind of music that couldn't have been tonally more different. And some labels come to mean the exact opposite of what they were intended for. for in the first place. You know, the idea of safe spaces springs to mind. Safe spaces initially being academic spaces where potentially inflammatory ideas could be discussed. People could speak without fear of being judged, and that use of the term is also used within the world of psychotherapy. When you're speaking to your therapist, you know, that idea of discussing things without fear of being judged. And that being flipped on its head, safe spaces now seem to be places where you better watch what you say, because if it upsets anybody, you're out. Which, for me, that's illustrative of a lot of problems that we seem to be experiencing today. As for the usefulness of labels, rules light has always been quite a useful term for me. It certainly helped me discover exactly the kind of games that I was looking for. So for me, it served its purpose. You know, games like Rhesus, Enter the Odd, Knave, ICRPG, Cthulhu Dark, Lasers and Feelings, Tunnel Goons. But then there's those games that I'm not sure where they exist. Because, I mean, games like Sharp Swords and Sinister Spells, or Jaws of the Six Serpents, certainly streamlined rules, not particularly weighty tomes. I don't know whether the term rules light is useful when talking about games like that. I mean, that's, you know, where that's where the term starts kind of breaking down, where you're kind of on the cusp of what it means, and you're kind of in that grey area. You know, I start thinking to myself, do I consider them rules light just because I find them intuitive? Do I consider other games as not rules light just because I don't really understand them? And the term story games as well. Now, I left a message with Jason Connolly of Nerds RPG Variety Cast regarding my thoughts on this, about story games generally being self-proclaimed, how I've seen the term being used in a derogatory manner as if to downgrade certain games, as if they somehow weren't proper RPGs. But I've also, you know, heard and understand the other side of that. So at this point, I begin recounting a couple of incidents that a couple of people shared on Audio Dungeon Discord. And on reflection, I thought it probably wasn't my place to share those stories on another forum. So I've removed them. But the point I was trying to illustrate, the kind of exclusionist attitudes when individuals expressed their interest in games that fell in another area of the RPG Venn diagram. Somehow, story games were something better. Reducing regular RPGs to kind of, you know, hack and slash dungeon crawls. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with dungeon crawls. It's just a willfully narrow-minded view of what OSR RPGs actually are. See, labels, you know, labels serve a purpose until they don't. And when they become problematic, then we should be willing to let go of them and move on. And that can only be achieved through dialogue, you know? I mean, this is where the problems arise when you make assumptions about what other people mean, when folks are more invested in tribalism than they are in attempting to understand each other. And it all comes down to intent. Looking at such terms in isolation can be so abstract as to be meaningless. The meaning lies in the context, in the way it's being used. And I just wanted to say that I think it was in Dave Aldridge's first Deeper Centaur episode, or possibly in a call-in, where he used the term indie OSR, which I loved because it... Well, that's enough for Controversy Corner. I feel that I've survived. I haven't backed out. I haven't created a diversion for myself. I feel so comfortable here. I might end up getting a ticket. I think that's about enough from me. I've been Spencer, aka Free Thrall. This has been Keep Off the Borderlands. If you want to look at my game rules, Osseous, they're in the program description, as is a link to TJ Drennan's Patreon, where you can get some of these wonderful sounds. There's also a link to leave me a message. Or you can email me at spencer.freeforall@gmail.com. And remember, if things get dicey, just roll with it.